I think there's a saying that goes along the lines of everyone has a book inside them. Well, here on RNIB Connect Radio, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by one such person who has not only written her own book, but is also self-publishing it too. And that is Helen McCann, a guide dog owner from Somerset, whose book is titled Running Blind, which not only chronicles her preparation and taking part in both the Bath Half Marathon and the London Marathon, but also focuses on her life story too. Hello, Helen, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. Thank you for inviting me to speak with you today.
So the first question, Helen, I must ask you is, why did you end up both training and taking part in the Bath Half Marathon and the London Marathon? As I think from a quote from Running Blind, the only thing you'd ran before was maybe a bath?
That's absolutely correct. I was challenged to run the Bath Half Marathon and then the London Marathon as a 59-year-old non-runner and guide dog owner. So clearly it was something I was going to need a guide for. I've asked myself many times, why did I do this? And I think it was twofold. One was to raise money for guide dogs, and the other was a personal challenge just to see if it was something I could do.
And obviously Running Blind takes us on a journey through those marathon miles, but it also takes us on a journey through your life story too. And I know that you started to lose your sight at the age of 29, but you had already had quite a lot to deal with in life before that, with hearing loss and a few other conditions too. Would you be able to tell me how you sort of coped with your hearing loss and other conditions before you started to lose your sight at the age of 29?
So the hearing loss is something that was present at birth, though my parents didn't have it confirmed until I was 5 years old. At the time, they could actually give no reason why I had a hearing loss. What I can say that at that time, I wouldn't use hearing aids. It brought negative attention that I didn't want. I wanted to just blend into the background. It was helpful for me because I was born into a family that valued education. My mother was a teacher, and because I could read when I started school, that helped me enormously, because even if I couldn't hear what was going on, I could lip read and I could read what was supposed to be happening. It was not easy going through mainstream school without any kind of learning support, but I succeeded. Passed 11 plus, went on to do O levels, A levels, and then went to London University and ultimately qualified as a math teacher, all without hearing aids. To just give an example of how bad my hearing is, it's never changed. So from that day to this, it's been constant. If I listen to something with the hearing aids I use now on a volume 11 or 12, without the hearing aids, that reduces to level 3. So I also, when I realised just how bad it was, don't really understand how I managed to become educated, but through nothing but sheer hard work.
Must have been a challenge for you. I mean, because I can just sort of about imagine what it might be like running a marathon or even a half marathon with my sight loss that I've got, but having to cope with hearing loss as well. What was it like being in the crowds for the half marathon and the London marathon?
Very intimidating. I'm not very tall, just over 5'1", and a lot of the runners were well over 6 foot. And when you're waiting to start the race, especially, and you start in, they call them pens, and I found the word quite interesting. And it was only when I was in there, I thought, yep, this feels just like being herded in, like animals would be. And I did have a moment's panic because I was concerned I might lose my guide. I couldn't see over people's heads. It felt very, very claustrophobic. Initially, when people started running, it wasn't very nice because I had to run at the pace that everybody around me was running. It was either that or get trampled. But then as people started to find their place and their pace, they opened up a bit. And after that, it was fine.
And Running Blind obviously focuses on your preparation and training and taking part in both the Bath Half Marathon and the London Marathon. And you've done a very novel way in the way you've labelled the chapters of the book, with, I think, the even numbers talking about your life story and the odd numbers talking about the running, and maybe an indication of another book to come with how the last chapter has been labelled. I mean, I know there's a lot in the book and you want people to read the book too, but is there anything you can sort of say about your life story that might sort of entice listeners to maybe purchase a copy of the book and read it?
So my life story does talk about the hearing loss and how I overcame that. It does talk about being diagnosed with sight loss at 29 and autoimmune diseases a little later in life, well, in my early 30s. And my career choices, the people who influenced my life that actually encouraged me to do everything I could to be the best I could be. I never ever felt that I couldn't achieve, that it was down to me to do whatever I felt I needed to do. The story also covers various events in my life, which at the time would have been newsworthy. Had I not been quite reserved, not willing to share personal things, I can remember going through life wanting to hide in the background. I didn't want people to notice me, to draw attention. As anybody who's grown up with disability from being very small or even later on in life, it is something that can be your Achilles heel, that you don't really want people to focus on because you want them to see you, not your disability. And it was only when I actually took on the marathon and I was drawn into the media because of what I was doing that I started to feel more relaxed about discussing that I had hearing loss and sight loss and reached a point where it just doesn't matter anymore. If anyone has a problem, then I'm afraid that's their problem. It's not mine. I don't feel anymore that I'm second rate. I feel like I make my contribution. The other things in the story which are of interest is my father's background. I knew nothing of his background until I was 38. Only that he had been born in the Ukraine. It was a subject that was always taboo. We weren't allowed to discuss, to ask questions. And like many children, I had romantic ideas about what had happened in his childhood or early adult years, about how he came to be in the UK and meet my mother. But the ideas I created in my mind were far from reality. And his story would be a book on its own. And at some point, I hope to be able to write that too.
We must talk about the self-publishing process as maybe not an easy thing for anybody to do. And I suspect most people might have a book in them and might be able to write a book, but having to publish it themselves, it adds an extra level to the whole sort of process of writing the book. How did you find the publishing process? Was it easy or was it hard for you?
It was daunting, very daunting. And as someone who is educated, if you like, and I have always had to do things and make decisions, I don't think anybody would find it easy. I tried to find the information about actually self-publishing and purchased a book online that I could then listen to. And quite frankly, it was impossible. If it had been a written book, you'd have been talking about something that was 2 inches thick. And all of that, to get a book published, is a lot to deal with. In the beginning, I just tried to find out some of the things like, how do you get an ISBN number? How do you get a barcode? How do you deal with the copyright? And I had someone proofread the book, which obviously was important. Then the book has to be formatted so that all the chapters are standard, that the titles are in the same place, that all the paragraphs. The first paragraph has an indentation to the same position. It was very, very daunting, though I can say now it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was just sifting through the minefield of information and trying to work out how and what to do. I certainly wouldn't worry about it a second time, and there will be a second time. There is a second book which will come out at some point called Blind Try, which, as its title suggests, I was then talked into triathlon. Though this book doesn't talk about the triathlon, it mentions how I was actually challenged to take that on next.
And do you think that doing a marathon and actually doing a triathlon now at the age you might be, is that something that's good, and is it something that you would maybe advise other people to do if they get the opportunity?
Absolutely. And at the age I am now is 65, and I'm still doing triathlon training. I love it. When I started to train for the triathlon just before I was 61, I couldn't swim properly. I'd never been on a bike. So I had to learn to swim properly, to cycle on the back of a tandem. And I absolutely love it. I think if there's anything that you always dreamed of doing and just don't have the courage, I'd say go for it, because coming out of your comfort zone is liberating.
Well, I think that's a mantra for everyone to follow. Running Blind will be published by Helen at the end of May in standard print and large print, with the hope that an audiobook version will be coming at some time later. Helen, if listeners would like to maybe order their copy of Running Blind, where's the best place for them to go, or is it best for them to maybe email you directly?
They can either go onto my Facebook page, which is called Running Blind Helen McCann, and there are details there of how to order the book, or people can email me at the email address runningblindhelenmccann@gmail.com.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Helen McCann, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about your incredible story behind your first self-published book, Running Blind.
Thank you.